Good evening. This Friday recording is for all night prayer, and I pray God continue to guide you, lead you to enjoy all the benefits and all the wonders of all night prayer. As a young Christian, most of us have not spent much time in God, and only the occasional, probably devotional time, and then when we begin to join the church that's active in prayer, we begin to pray more and more hours in the Lord. For those of you who experience the all-night prayer, you know how wonderful it is to spend a lot of time in prayer. And many things take place when you spend quality time and quantity time with God. In this little short series, let's consider our Lord Jesus and the Bible examples of those who have waited on God. And they learn to wait on God. To many others who have not prayed much in the Lord and trembling in God, sometimes people spend all night prayer in prayer. Let's say if you're part of COG, we're all night prayer, and you're used to praying all night because it's a regular meeting. And then we have Bible study, we have Sunday, and it's good. It's a part of the discipline that we encourage into each of our church members. But do you know that the practice of all-night prayer, learning to wait on God, should actually come from your own life too? Where there are times that you desire to spend that time with God, and your love for God drives you to want to wait on the Lord the whole night, or get up early to seek His face, because you're drawn to Him. I pray that your time with the Lord and your desire for the Lord will surpass regular meetings on Sunday, Bible study, all-night prayer. And that your desire for God would drive you to just devote yourself as much as you have free time to spend time with God, even to all-night prayer. Because when Jesus did all-night prayer, or Paul did all-night prayer, or any of the apostles did all-night prayer, they did not do all-night prayer just because there was a meeting. They did all-night prayer because something else was driving them to all-night prayer. Let's look at some interesting Bible examples. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 6, one of the first records of Jesus spending all-night prayer is recorded for us here. We know He spent a lot of all-night prayer, but particularly on some occasions. It says in verse 12, "Now it came to pass in those days that He went up to the mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, He called His disciples to Himself, and from them He chose 12, whom He also named apostles: Simon, whom He also named Peter, Andrew His brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor." Now notice the word that "he also became a traitor," which means when he began, he was not a traitor. He grew apart from Jesus after Jesus gave him a chance. Jesus spent all night praying before He chose the 12. Choosing the 12 apostles was one of the most important decisions in Jesus' life. To Jesus, the 12 were the deposit of His teaching, of His practices, of His impartations that He's going to leave behind. Jesus did not leave behind an inheritance, a physical treasure, or anything at all. He left behind a set of teachings, impartations, and grace that He deposited into the apostles' life, trusting that the apostles would continue in what He has taught them and continue to grow and deposit that into other lives. What was driving Jesus behind this all-night prayer? I believe the importance of the job that He had in hand. His whole life was going to be all in the deposit of His teaching, His entire life in ministry, which was witnessed by these 12 closely, was going to depend on these 12 apostles, one of which we know failed. So it was something that he had to do. But wait a minute, that is Jesus we're talking about. Didn't Jesus know everything? Couldn't the Father easily reveal to him, okay, these are the names, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and that's it, good night, God bless you. Couldn't he have done that? He could. God could have revealed all this instantly to Jesus. But Jesus paid the price. Because he has to feel in his spirit. And even though God may reveal the name, he has to pray through for each one of us. And one of the things that we know, because we saw it in vision, that Jesus, before he was 30 and started his ministry, he did 3 prayer walks. Among the prayer walks, besides building altars in several places in Israel, Jesus also took time to visit his disciples, his potential 12 apostles, incognito. He didn't let them know who he was, but from afar, he was observing their lives and praying for them. That vision gave me the understanding that Jesus most likely knew who his 12 apostles were, even before he started the ministry. And indeed, as we have agreed, that Jesus knows all things, the Father easily reveals to him, and Jesus easily receives. So knowing who the 12 are would have easily complete a prayer of blessing to the 12 within less than half an hour or 15 minutes. So he's praying all night, I believe, is not just because he doesn't know who the 12 are. He had to pray to thousands of names, seeking and waiting upon God. It's not so much that. I believe he sends, firstly, if we accept the fact, there are only 2 ways you can go. That Jesus knew who the 12 were, or Jesus didn't know who the 12 were. If Jesus didn't know who the 12 were, or of course, then he need to spend time searching out and praying in God. Then after that will be all the other points that we're going to continue to share after he discerned who the 12 were. On the other hand, if Jesus knew who the 12 were and had actually visited them or had visions of who they were before he named them and before he selected them, then Jesus' prayer was not who they were, what they're going to do, or anything else. Jesus' prayer, I believe, was to bring these people into a place in God in which he could deposit something into them, and perhaps from that day onwards, when he called them and set them apart. When did he call them apostles? From the beginning, when he selected them. No one knew what an apostle was in those days. By the way, the Greek for apostle just means a sent out one, someone who sent out. So there was no church yet. There was only the Jewish synagogue, which has the high priest and all the Pharisees, the scribes and all the other assistants. What in the world is an apostle? It's almost like saying to someone before the internet was invented and before there was an internet, and he asked, what's your work? Oh, I'm a webmaster. What? What's a webmaster? Okay, so today we understand that there's a person in charge of the website. So he's the master of the website, controls the website. But if there were no internet and you say that your profession is a webmaster, nobody in the world will know who you are or what kind of job you do. So here is Jesus, and before there was a church, he called them and named them apostles. That says something about what was happening. That I believe on the day that he chose them, some sort of a predestination seal came upon them. From that day onward, heaven would look at the 12 differently, deal with the 12 differently, increase something into the child to fulfill the destiny that Jesus just confirmed. If that is true, then Jesus' prayer all night has to do not just with the struggle of who the 12 are, but it is more the burden of how and what is going to impart upon them on that day. We do know that Jesus sometimes intercede for his disciples when they were about to go through a troublesome time. Like Jesus told Peter in Luke 22 that before the cock crow twice you betray me three times, and he says that Satan desired to sieve you as wheat, and I have prayed for you and that your faith will not fail. When you turn, strengthen your brethren. So Jesus Christ prayed sometimes individually for his disciples. Jesus says, I prayed for you, Peter, even before you were tested, before you entered the situation. Where we see something common about Jesus is here. Jesus saw things probably months ahead, weeks ahead, years ahead, and he was praying to them before it even came to pass. Now the selection of the 12 was going to be changing all the hierarchy system spiritually and spiritual authorities in the natural group of followers that were following Jesus. Now the 12 are going to be leader of the multitudes. On top of that, I know for sure that choosing the 12 actually seals some things in heaven. You remember New Jerusalem in the book of Revelations? It says when it reveals the bright New Jerusalem and describes all the adornments, the bride, the precious stone, the 12 gates. It speaks about how that there were 12 gates and the foundations of the gates had the names of the apostles. And of course there were also the 12 tribes of Israel. And we know that something was sealed in the spiritual dimension the day he selected them. But of course we also know that through time Judas' name was dropped off and another replaced him, because there's still free choice to flow with God. Looking at all these considerations and then watching Jesus pray for his this event of appointing the disciples, we can conclude this. When Jesus selected the disciples, it was an event that was significant to New Jerusalem. It was an event that was significant to heaven. It was an event that was significant to the future of the church. It was an event that was significant to his present time. When you begin to count all these things, you realize there's a weight, there's a spiritual weight that was on Jesus when he selected these things. I mentioned before, there are some things on earth that humans deem important. They are totally unimportant to God in the spiritual world. There are some things that humans deem unimportant. They are very important to the dimension of the Spirit and to God in heaven and to the future of eternity. How strange the human race is today in its fallen state, where we cannot harmonize with heaven, nor can we synchronize to understand what is important in heaven and what is important, what should be important on the earth, and yet sometimes there's the dichotomy of what's happening, the opposite of itself. For us, as we see Jesus praying in this area, we can see that the future eternity is involved, because New Jerusalem, the names of the 12 apostles are there. The position in heaven is different, for he made them judges over all Israel. And that's in the future too. And in the present and in the near future of the church, so many things. Plus whatever Jesus is going to impart into their lives the day they appointed. Because you know, some things when you release and appoint on earth are sealed in heaven. So that is why Jesus carried such a burden and prayed right through. I mean, what is all night prayer? All night prayer, just praying from the evening until the sun rises. It's a small thing compared to eternity. But yet it's important when it needs to happen. The other all-night prayer, which we all know very well, is when Jesus Christ, there are several, I just want to highlight a few, is when Jesus Christ died on the night when before he was betrayed. After the Lord's Supper, Jesus could not sleep that night. After the Lord's Supper that night, and you read all the three Gospels, four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, on a great occasion, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And when he prayed till his sweat was like blood. Because the next day he was going to do the most important event on all human history that affects. Oh, it doesn't just affect this earth. It affects the universe. It affects all creation. It affects everything from the beginning to the end. Imagine the weight of the spiritual responsibility that was upon Jesus on the night before he was crucified. I don't think he wanted to spend time wasting sleeping the night before the crucifixion. So he spent the whole night in prayer. And towards the morning, that was when Judas led a group of temple soldiers under the authority of the priest to arrest Jesus. So Jesus didn't sleep that last night before he died on the cross, and then 3 days later rose from the dead. There were too many important things for him to fulfill than to go to sleep for 8 hours or 7 hours or a few hours. That's all night prayer for you, my friends. Also, not forgetting that sometimes situation occur, or which Jesus knew is a potential, but human beings began to behave in such a way after the feeding of the 5,000. In verse 15 of John chapter 6, Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force and make him king. When he perceived that, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. I can assure you that night Jesus never slept. I'm giving you some examples. There are several. Of course, I haven't even reached Hebrews chapter 5 yet, where he prayed constantly. And then some of the other times that Jesus sought by himself early morning and prayed. But here's another example of all-night prayer. Immediately after the feeding of the 5,000. And if you remember the context of the feeding of the 5,000, there's been a lot of traveling to and fro, ministry, and really busy, you want to rest. And the reason he went to the wilderness is to take a break. But the crowds followed, and Jesus still blessed them with a miracle. And now this ungrateful crowd that can only look at things in the natural and not spiritual, they want to make him a natural king. Of course Jesus refused. But I'm sure in the heart of Jesus, he was saddened. He was saddened at the hard-heartedness of people, even after they taste and ate miracle food. And the heart of unbelief in them, when he did so many spiritual things, they keep looking at things carnally, and they keep evaluating things carnally. How sad that is. And so Jesus sent all the disciples out, and he went alone to pray all night. And we know what happened to the all night prayer. That when he had prayed through, while his disciples were roaring in the morning, probably about the fourth watch of the night, Jesus was walking by on the water. I mean, he is spending all night prayer, and here he is walking on the water to meet them on the other side. from the looks of it, it is as if Jesus just want to pass by them when you compare all the stories. And it was Peter who shouted, and when he saw some white figure floating in the water, of course, you know, what else can it be that can float on the water? So he shouted, "It's a ghost." And Jesus said, "It is I. Do not be afraid." That was the result of Jesus on that prayer. And he had Peter walking in water. Then he doubted. And Jesus said, "Come to him." And then in the end, Jesus went with them in the boat, which he did not intend to go with them in the boat. He intended to walk all the way across and meet them on the other side. There are a lot of supernatural things about Jesus that John says, if everything were recorded, there were no books that could contain it. You can tell that Jesus can do a lot of things supernaturally, but he did not do it publicly. If you think all his miracles and all he did was all that he did, you are actually, you know, underestimating Jesus. There's so much more Jesus could do, but he did not do it publicly. And I sense that that was not the first time he walked on water, nor was it the first time he translated himself. Jesus does it all the time, but he never did it in front of the disciples. And it just happened that they caught him being near, and he was just checking on how his disciples were doing. That Peter screamed, thinking it was a ghost, and Jesus would comfort them, and then in the end came into the boat. And supernaturally, the boat was transported right to where they need to be. All this from an all-night prayer, and the all-night prayer resulted from the short-sightedness of humans who wanted to make him an early king and still did not understand that he was called to be the spiritual Messiah. Oh, the short-sightedness of humans. So what about all-night prayer? You see, Jesus praying all night in Gospel of John 6, Jesus praying all night in Luke chapter 6, and Jesus praying all night in Luke 22 and some of the other Gospels, in like Matthew 26 or in Mark. So Jesus praying all night, it seems to be a very common theme. Jesus didn't pray all night just because it was an all night prayer meeting. Jesus prayed all night because there were things moving him. What are some principles that we can derive from this burden all night prayer? And how can a person succeed to have such energy to pray all night prayer? We realize there are several things that are there. Firstly, there are issues of eternity and issues of heaven and issues of the future of the church and issues of immediate effect on the people. There are issues that are so big that a night of prayer is nothing to sacrifice to God. So my question to you is, are you just a carnal person who live from day to day like a normal human being who's not born again? You work, you sleep, you eat, you're satisfied with your life, and you do not know how to carry the spiritual burdens of the Lord. You do not see the dimension of the Spirit to pray for. All you see is your life in front of you, your paycheck in your account, your food on the table, and the house that you live, natural things. Of course, you consider just natural things, you have no burden for prayer. You live like a natural man, and yet you claim to be a disciple and a son of God or the daughter of God living for heaven. Now, you should start understanding if we are really the children of God, sons and daughters of God, that God will entrust us with some vision, some burdens for us to pray through. We need to do that. In the light of these occasions of Jesus praying all night and your ability to pray all night, I can only ask you this. Can you see beyond your life? Can you see into eternity? Can you join with our Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit and catch some of these eternal burdens that need to be birthed forth and released on the earth today. It's very important what is done on the earth, for there's a transactions that take place that affects all of eternity. And to those who understand the seriousness of all these things, then praying all night is nothing, because there's an eternal price and rewards for the sacrifice of a couple hours of sleep. Number two, sometimes all night prayer cannot be planned. It's just a burden that comes to your heart, and you know that whatever you have throughout the day, the spiritual burdens need to be released to God. Like John chapter 6, who will anticipate that after Jesus blessed his 5,000 people in John 6, that they want to make him to be a king? And that was not Jesus' intention. And he must have wept and prayed for them, that they can see why he did the miracle, but they could not understand why they did the miracle. To reveal to them, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Yet they only look at the carnal things and don't see the message behind what Jesus did. All Jesus praying all night for the disciples. Think about what came to him. He knew the time had come, so he did it. All the all-night prayer that he prayed before he went to the cross. And then 3 days later, he's raised from the dead. There's a tremendous burden that Jesus carried. So number one, we know there are eternal things that we catch a glimpse of, or we catch a vision of, that enables us to pray all night. Number two, we realize that some things are thrown at us, and our only reaction is in the spirit. When things occur like a spanner in the works, things doesn't work exactly the way that humans expect, and then it goes in an unusual thing, what we call you're thrown a curveball. What do you do when you're thrown a curveball? Things doesn't work according to your plan. All night prayer. You just pray through. And God who loves you, and you who love God and are called according to his purpose, God will work all things out according to his perfect will, and bring all things will work for good. But it demands prayer. A question to consider: if Jesus is a high priest praying for us, how much should we pray here? Romans 8 gives you the answer. You pray as much as the Holy Spirit enable you. It says that when we do not know what to pray because of our weaknesses, the Holy Spirit in us teaches us how to pray, enable us to pray. And I conclude with the book of Hebrews chapter 5. In the book of Hebrews chapter 5, talk about Jesus, a high priest. And then it says in verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Read verse 8 also. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus had to learn suffering. He had to learn the better burdens of prayer. And Jesus perfected prayer when he was here. I believe every time God called him to pray, he prayed. And sometimes it's not enough praying 15 minutes, half an hour, an hour. Sometimes it takes all night for Jesus to pray through. But Jesus was prepared to do it. I pray as you spend time in all night prayer tonight, that you will catch a glimpse of heaven, that the intercessory spirit of Christ will come upon you, that you know that today destinies are being made every day. Though Jesus has risen from the dead and seated in the right hand of God, we have our part to play, to bring into line on the earth the release through our actions and through our prayer of eternal things through our all-night prayer. God bless you and God strengthen you as you pray. In Jesus' name, amen.